Some students at Kalamazoo College have done a video documentary about how the civil rights movement came to Kalamazoo, and that's going to be presented on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. The professor in charge of that class is Bruce Mills, a professor of English at Kalamazoo College. How did the project get started?
It got started a long time ago. I had heard that James Baldwin had come to Kalamazoo College, and I wanted to create a class at some time that brought his writings into the class. And I also want to engage students in oral histories within the community. Baldwin wrote about civil rights and was a civil rights activist, so I thought laying alongside his work with what people experience in Kalamazoo would be important, and that's where Donna was an important partner. I had heard of what was happening with the Southwest Michigan Black Historical Society, and I wanted to partner with her in creating oral histories.
And with us also is Donna Odom from that organization. Donna, was the boycott of the Van Avery pharmacy and drugstore back in the 60s, was that the moment that civil rights hit Kalamazoo, or did it start even before that?
I think it started even before that, but certainly that was one of the watershed events in the movement, and the one that when we begin to refer to civil rights in Kalamazoo, that's the particular incident that people think of.
And what exactly happened in that incident?
Well, what happened was that the drugstore was a drugstore that was frequented by both blacks and whites, and it wasn't that blacks were not served there. But they were not hired in the same way. Actually, there was no hiring of blacks, and the community felt like they had given a lot of business to the drugstore and felt that, you know, there should be some reciprocation, you know, that there should be some hiring. And so they started the boycott, and, it went back and forth for quite a while. And finally, they were able to reach some agreement. But it was during a time when people, you know, when you talk to people who lived during the 60s, they talk a lot about, oh, that's the way it was. And I think people went along with things for a long time. And then finally, at a certain point, it was a turning point, and people began to sit up and say, enough, you know, that we want to do something about these things. And Van Avery was kind of an event that exemplified that feeling.
And Bruce, what did your students find when they interviewed people who had participated in this boycott?
Well, one of the things that was interesting, one of the interviewees, James Washington Sr., was both a participant in the Van Avery protest, but also he was on the police force, I think, at that time, or at least close to that time. So what was interesting to find out is people who were involved in the Van Avery protest were negotiating a number of things individually. And so what that meant is that the story of becoming involved, becoming active in the protest, was more complex than students and I might have realized. How do you participate in a protest and maintain relationships with people in your community and stand up for what you believe in?
What do you think your students learned by going through this process of talking with people who were there in the 1960s when conditions were significantly different than they are now?
You know, I think hearing the people talk about the personal ways they were committed to involving themselves in the civil rights movement and how those commitments were influenced by parents. With oral histories, you have a chance to hear how people feel they got to be who they were, who they are. And often they would talk about families, family influences, and influences of friends and neighbors. And so you begin to see that something that hits the front page is on the foundation of a lot of relationships and commitments and thinking over time. So I think the way in which students saw an individual is not some image in a newspaper, yes, this person's holding a picket sign, but this person is someone who has been negotiating a lot of issues within their life in relationship to race. It's more complex story than people often think.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we spoke with people who had different experiences in the civil rights area. Charles Warfield, who was very active in the community in other areas, mainly education. Cal Street, who was one of the first students to integrate Lloyd Norricks High School. And Phyllis Seabolt, who was one of the first teachers in Kalamazoo Public Schools. And so you see a wide spectrum of experiences. And as Bruce said, it's quite different hearing a person speak of their own personal experience as opposed to reading in newspapers and textbooks about the civil rights movement.
And some of these people will actually be there.
Yes, they will. So we'll show the documentary, and then the audience, people who are attending, will have the opportunity to ask questions and have some discussion after the documentary.
Bruce, I understand that you're creating a Baldwin archive there at Kalamazoo College. What's that all about?
I will be going on leave next year, and my proposal for my sabbatical is to develop a oral history project and to try to flesh out what we can know about James Baldwin's visit here on campus. Once you begin to look into the archives, we're hoping to discover more about what that, why he was here, how he was received, maybe get some photos or discover some photos, and we just did that recently of his visit. But it's not simply about James Baldwin is someone who dealt with issues of race, sexuality, national identity. And so he becomes a person we want to look at, but it becomes a way to think more broadly together about issues of difference and how we cross those borders or boundaries sometimes we set up. But this is involved with the Racial Healing Initiative and then Engaging the Wisdom Project. How can we enlarge our conversations and engage better in those conversations?
And when was Mr. Baldwin at Kalamazoo College?
He spoke here in February of 1960, just about the time he was going to begin to hit it big as a writer and activist. He had already published a number of works, but it was about 2 to 3 years after that he really began to be well-known nationally.
This is part of our Engaging the Wisdom component of the Racial Healing Initiative, and it's a part that I think that is very important because it brings home a lot of issues that we'll be dealing with.
Yeah, if there's anything I might add, it's simply something Baldwin had written. He talks about the force of history coming from the fact, and now I'm quoting, that we carry it within us and are unconsciously controlled by it in many ways, and history is literally present in all that we do. So that's really a foundation for what we've been trying to accomplish. How do we see the history within us by hearing the histories that people have in their lives?